KALW.
When the governor told everyone to shelter in place, the homeowners called me and told me not to go to their homes until this is all over.
A report from UC Merced shows one out of four pandemic-related job losses was among non-citizens.
The research shows that those persons who are most marginalized are the first ones to be fired during a crisis and are the last ones to be hired during an economic recovery.
Then we hear how the pandemics changed the daily routine of a laundromat owner in Richmond.
And we are take extra precautions to clean the machines every half an hour, and we have a system on how we observe that.
And what it's like to be coping with depression and then get the wrong pills.
Man, I don't know what I was. Man, that stuff had me. I didn't even know who I was.
That's coming up. I'm Henat Baba, and this is Cross Currents. UC Merced released a report in May that shows when it comes to job loss during the pandemic, undocumented workers have been hit the hardest. In this story from our partners at Valley Public Radio, reporter Madi Bolaños says this is especially true for women in non-essential jobs.
Before the pandemic hit, 59-year-old Maria had steady work cleaning houses in Merced and Winston. But COVID-19 changed everything.
When the governor told everyone to shelter in place, the homeowners called me and told me not to go to their homes until this is all over.
That meant a huge loss in income. Maria made pretty good money, about $1,000 a week, but she says her clients were all older people who feared contracting the virus.
So I stayed at home after that because I'm also older and have diabetes, so getting another job will put me at risk too.
She's lived without documentation in California for the last 30 years, and she's asked us to use her first name only. And because of her status, job opportunities are also limited, she says. Doing agricultural work is not really an option.
I used to work in the fields, but I fainted twice due to the heat. It's hard for me to be out in the sun for long periods of time now.
Right now, she's staying at home where she shares a two-bedroom apartment with one of her daughters and four grandchildren. Her daughter receives welfare that covers the rent, but Maria is still responsible for paying the utilities.
Not working has affected me a lot because I have no money and I don't receive any government aid.
She tried applying for the California COVID-19 Relief Fund for undocumented workers, but she says she was never able to speak to anyone.
I spent the entire month of May calling and never getting through to anyone, and I imagine it's the same experience for others that have tried to use it.
Maria's story is not unique, says Edward Flores, a professor at UC Merced, who is researching recent job losses in the state. He says undocumented workers are getting hit the hardest.
In California, one out of every four pandemic-related job losses was among non-citizens.
And he says it's even higher, about one in three for women who are undocumented and doing non-essential work, especially in the service industry.
The service sector has been really slammed by the pandemic, and this is where a lot of immigrants and women concentrate, and so that's why it's affecting these groups most acutely.
Flores's research is based on the U.S. Census Bureau's current population survey for February and April of 2020, which shows trends in job losses. And when the economy does start to improve, Flores says undocumented women will be the last to recover.
The research shows that people of color and that women, those persons who are most marginalized in the workforce, are the first ones to be fired during a crisis and are the last ones to be hired during an economic recovery.
Recently, Maria did find one cleaning job. Right now, she's ironing a stack of clothes. She says it makes her nervous to return to work, but she also needs to pay her utilities bill.
This woman owns a ranch. I clean her house three times a week, and we make sure to keep a distance. It's not ideal, but it's what I have to do to earn some money.
And she's staying productive in other ways. Maria volunteers with an organization where she helps package masks for people working in the fields. She knows she can't do field work herself, but she wants to make sure those who do stay protected.
That story came to us from our friends at Valley Public Radio. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Imagine it's laundry day. You put on your face mask and your last pair of clean sweats. You leave the house for the first time in a week or two. You haul your overflowing hamper to your local laundromat, and thankfully, it's open. The laundromat is a different kind of front line where neighbors gather and a few work. Today, as part of our ongoing series, The Essentials, we're sharing the story of one of those workers. While we shelter in place, Jimmy Sue is an entrepreneur whose laundromat's been open throughout the pandemic. KALW's Noor Bouzidi has his story.
Jimmy is the owner of So Fresh, So Clean Laundry in San Francisco. He's been operating businesses in the Bay Area since the early 2000s.
My name is Jimmy Sue, and I am an entrepreneur. I run and operate four businesses on Clement Street.
That includes a print shop, a cafe, and a salon.
And 2 years ago, we opened the laundromat business. I mean, our name is So Fresh, So Clean for a reason. We like to uphold that.
Jimmy has been able to keep the laundromat open since the pandemic began because it's considered an essential business. But he's had to make some changes during the pandemic.
And we are take extra precautions to clean the machines every half an hour or as soon as people finish using them. And we have a system on how we observe that.
He and his staff are making sure that customers are also following the rules.
And what is required is a mask, for sure. 6 feet distancing. Just the other day, a gentleman did not have a mask, even though he was sitting in the front. I had to tell him, listen, you have to have a mask on. This is the city requirement. So then he apologized and he left to go to Ace Hardware down the street, came back with a new mask and says, I'm sorry, because he knows I'm the owner. So I always instruct my staff to not back down. Be nice, obviously, but you know, be firm. And if they're rude to you, you know, stand up for yourself. You know, that's what you gotta do. You gotta tell them you wanna come in, you gotta have a mask.
While hand sanitizer has become particularly popular lately, So Fresh, So Clean has always had it available for customers.
I offer hand sanitizers on every folding station. So we have been doing that since we opened in December 2018. Ironically, now everybody's requiring it. Once the pandemic hit, all of a sudden, four of my dispensers all went missing. Customers just stole them or whatever.
In general, the pandemic has added more work for him and his staff. At the same time, business has been way down.
I mean, we're just breaking even, you know. We actually closed initially at the coffee shop. The reason I reopened up after like a week was because we had to keep the laundromat open because that's an essential business. I have a lot of crossover customers. So a lot of people asked me to open a coffee shop. And living in San Francisco for this long, knowing that a lot of people have small spaces in their apartments and whatnot, so just to offer them a little outlet to be able to get coffee in the daytime and food, even though we're not viable revenue-wise, it was still a great place for a community to go to.
Running his businesses has kept Jimmy busy and helped him avoid much of the isolation that many are feeling during shelter in place.
Fortunately, I've been working every day. I go out every day. I've been tested. Knowing that I'm one of those guys as an essential worker at the laundromat, even though I'm not taking a shift every day, to protect my family and my son and my wife, I was the first one to get tested and I was negative. With that said, you know, obviously we were in isolation like majority of people, hopefully, and not any gatherings whatsoever until I had a barbecue for six of us at my backyard because it was one of my partners at the laundromat's birthday. I personally think that, well, they're finally allowing us to open retail, which is great. And knowing that we're still gonna applied to the 6 feet distancing, social distancing, wearing masks, gloves, all this stuff. Because I know my business follows the protocols to the T. So I'm not worried about that. That's why I'm very confident in what we do as a business. We can't wait to get back to normalcy, but yeah.
Unfortunately, the number of coronavirus cases has been surging throughout California, and reopening plans in the Bay Area have been put on hold indefinitely. In San Francisco, I'm Noor Bouzidi for Cross Currents.
Noor is a student journalist in KALW's summer training program, and you can hear more stories from our series, The Essentials, at KALW.org. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Next, we've got a story from Uncuffed, our project produced inside state prisons.
From Solano State Prison,
this is Uncuffed.
A deadly coronavirus outbreak is spreading in California prisons, focusing attention on prison healthcare systems. Incarcerated people have long complained about substandard care, and distrust of medical officials is rampant. In this interview from the Uncuffed Archives, producer Brian Thames talked to Raymond Jones about his experiences with the prison medical system.
Raymond Jones suffers from major depression, which can be quite debilitating for him. Sometimes, he doesn't want to shower, eat, or even think. He also doesn't like to take the drugs prescribed to him by the medical department because of the way they make him feel. Raymond probably doesn't realize it, but in my opinion, his triumphs over his illness make him a real Superman. Why do you think you suffer from depression?
I suffer from it because for a while, I never knew what it was. I never knew I was going through that. Kind of make you feel like you're going crazy.
Have you sought professional help for your depression? Tell me about that.
From the time I realized that I had this, it was try one medication after another. That's basically what this paper is right here stating. On here is that that the inmate patient reports new medication doesn't help him because you're trying things. Here, let me give you this, and you'll take it for 10 days, and then you come back and tell me how it makes you feel.
Well, in fairness to them, don't they have to do that to find out what works for you?
Sometimes medication ain't always the answer. Man, I found other ways that's working way better. It's my own little system that I've developed for myself, but I just don't believe in taking medication. I recall taking a pill one time. It was the size of a sunflower seed. But that pill was so powerful, man. Taking that whole pill, that pill had me gone for 3 days.
What do you mean gone?
I couldn't function. I couldn't function. I mean, I can get up and use the bathroom. I can get up and go to chow. But I would get up, go to breakfast, come back, lay down, sleep all day. Get up for count, get up, go to chow, come back, sleep all night. For 3 days.
Yeah, but during those 3 days, you weren't depressed, were you?
Man, I don't know what I was. Man, that stuff had me. I didn't even know who I was.
As recent as 2015, I had been depressed, right? A depression that I had never experienced before or since. That was the first time. I was depressed for 4 days. It was black. It was black like these microphones. It just was black. It felt tangible. And I kept hearing that I should kill myself, that I should kill myself, that I should kill myself. I don't know how close I was to giving in to that. I have no idea. But I know I'll never forget that. What's the longest unbroken period that you've been depressed?
I don't know.
Guess for me.
It's hard to say. When I even feel like a depressive state coming on, sometimes I'll pray. Sometimes I'll just go take a shower. You know what I mean? Something as either a nice hot shower or a cold shower would change my mood. Anything to change my mood. Because if I stay in the mood that I'm in, it may wind up bad. It's kind of hard, you know what I mean? Dealing with it. We not Superman, we don't have superpowers. So anybody say that they can defeat being overwhelmed by anything, you're lying.
That was Raymond Jones speaking with Brian Thames. Brian is a producer in KALW's radio program at Solano State Prison. The class is supported by the California Arts Council and the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. All content is approved by an information officer. You can find more stories from Uncuffed at KALW.org. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Bay Area authors have had to cancel launch parties and book tours because of the coronavirus, so we're bringing them to you in a series we're calling New Arrivals. Today, we hear from Oakland author Emily Pilliton reading from her new book, Girl's Garage.
It's an encyclopedia of tools, skills, building projects, profiles of inspiring builder women, and an invitation for girls and women everywhere to join a movement of fearless builder girls. And here's one of my favorite parts from the introduction of the book. I love building so much. I think about it all day, do it almost every day, and go through withdrawal when I don't do it. I love the idea that in just a few hours, you can build something from scratch, point to it when you're done, and say, I built that. Building something means you've changed the world a little bit by bringing something new into it using your hands, head, and heart. Whether you're young, older and wiser, adventurous or shy, good at math or not, from a neighborhood you love or want to escape, the fact that you've picked up this book means you're already a brave builder girl. Welcome to the club. I want you to love building as much as I do, or at least experience the magic of that feeling when you get to say, I built that. I want you to take this book, try something new, and walk away feeling stronger and more powerful than yesterday.
That was Oakland author Emily Pilliton reading from her new book, Girl's Garage. Find more information about that book and other recent releases by Bay Area authors at KALW.org/newarrivals. And before we go, let's listen to some new music from a local artist. This is Madeline Kenny from Oakland. Her new album, Sucker's Lunch, comes out this month. Today's Cross Currents team includes Precious Green, Marissa Ortega-Welch, B. Saul, Victor Tense, and Eli Wirtschafter. Our engineers are James Rollins and Gabe Graben. Production manager is Shirin Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.
They say the course is running, the game is over.